Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter and a broker here at StoneX. We work with hedgers and speculators, farmers and end users, do anything from futures and options to the OTC structured product markets. For our hedgers on the farming and end user side, we also provide cash consulting services too. I do all of those, and if you have any questions about how we work in the agriculture markets, please give me a call at 800-958-9470 or 312-706-7610. If you like the podcast, please go on over to iTunes and give us a positive review. If you want to check out the newsletter, you go to turnerstake.com. And you can also find me at Twitter at turners_take. So let's get into it here. It's not going to be a very big webinar. It's not a podcast. There's not a ton going on in terms of new news. It's a lot of continuation of old news. Number one would be the Russia-Ukraine situation. Tough to tell what's really going on there. Russia says they're, you know, sending troops back to the barracks. NATO and the United States are saying, you know, machinery and new troops are coming in. Little skirmishes there. I guess there's some pro-Russian forces in eastern Ukraine. You can't tell who's starting what. So I think traders just don't want to be short wheat heading into the long weekend. We do have a holiday here in the United States on Monday, President's Day. So the Board of Trade will be closed for 3 days instead of two, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So that's a lot of risk and a lot of time in the market with the volatile, potentially volatile situation in Russia and Ukraine. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit more short covering heading into the weekend there. The other big story, which has been going on for a while now, is inflation. The Federal Reserve president of the St. Louis Bank is basically saying that, you know, if they don't start raising rates and tightening soon, that inflation can get out of hand. That caught some headlines. You know, you have a Fed official being concerned about inflation, quote unquote, getting out of hand. That is, that certainly gets sent in all the stories around here. So that's where the inflation, what they're seeing is basically, I think, March a quarter point higher, and then eventually they wanted to have it at least 1 point higher by the time we get to July, which would be a cumulative raises from the meetings between now and then. So that'll be interesting to see how it affects the dollar. Crude oil is above 90. The grain prices are high. Natural gas is now rallying. There's thoughts that if there is an issue in Russia and Ukraine, that we would try to export as much liquid natural gas, liquefied natural gas as possible. So those stories are going into, and the latest escalation between Russia and Ukraine has kind of pushed the stock market down. So in the macro sense, it is, you know, has not changed. Inflation and Russia, Ukraine. One thing that is interesting too, that is not getting as much press, is it does seem that a lot of these COVID restrictions are ending and, you know, could end, I wouldn't say for good, but what we'll see next year might be more of things are optional in terms of quarantining and working from home and masks and all that stuff instead of mandates. That seems to be the trend, especially here in the United States. I live in Illinois, which our governor has been just like the governor of New York and California, definitely on one end of the thoughts on mandates and vaccines. And you know, from what we can tell is that the the writing is on the wall, and they can't keep on going that way if they want to stay in the positions that they have, basically is what's going on here in Illinois. So we are seeing a big change to some of these policies, and we'll have to see what happens in November. But that is definitely a change. I mean, this is going on for 2 years now, and I could tell you, I live out in the suburbs of Chicago, which is very diverse in politics and who people vote for and what their ideas are in COVID and stuff like that. And things have definitely changed in the past, I would say, 6 to 8 weeks, even in Chicago. Going downtown to Chicago, I go down to Chicago about once a week, and there's a noticeable difference in terms of attitudes and where things may be heading with that. So up here might start looking a little bit more like the South in the United States, just in terms of those kind of policies. So we'll see. It'll be interesting, but that would also be bullish the economy and economic activity also. So we'll just have to see where that leads. In terms of, let's get over to the grain markets. There's a couple of things that we're looking to do. I'm still bullish on the grains over and oil seeds overall, probably most bullish on corn and bean oil still, you know, they say a bull market always lets you in. The breaks will probably be shallow, but I do like them. If you don't have exposure, we should talk about that. If you have exposure, that's just a matter of, do we want to add on and when? South American weather issues still exist. It's not as bad as it was in December and January, but you know, there is still lack of rain. The temperatures aren't as hot, so that's good. But you know, it's still supportive, I think, for grain prices. And the damage that's been done is still being accounted for. And we're going to have tight stocks in an old crop and a new crop, most likely. There is the Ag Forum next week. That is Thursday and Friday. The Ag Forum will give us our first look into the USDA's assessment of what new crop acres could be. They'll publish the trend line yields for this year, and they'll also give us a sense of where they think demand is going to be. You know, the production that's lost in South America, there's this argument that it doesn't come into exports for old crop. It actually comes into exports for new crop. And actually, that argument makes a lot of sense because South America is harvesting. They'll sell the grain they have now. If there's a shortage of grain, that tends to show up at the end of the marketing cycle. So when they get into the second half of their marketing cycle or marketing year, you know, the United States is now getting into, you know, their first half of the marketing year. You know, so if South America is exporting in March, April, May, June, and they start to, you know, run out of things in July or August, you know, now all of a sudden that's where the United States is picking up and making sales. So the United States marketing season could start earlier or be heavier with new crop. So that's an argument that's been going around. It'll be interesting to say if the Ag Forum goes that way too. And that could be why the USDA hasn't been getting very aggressive on exports in old crop. You never know with the USDA, like they have different departments that do different things through the economists, the domestic and the international services, you know, the crop ratings and the field observe, you know, the way they observe fields and satellite. And then you have just a bunch of different departments over there, and they all comment in the WASD on different parts of the year. And it's not dynamic. Usually it's usually very scheduled, and you can have times where South American production changes, yet, you know, the supply and demand domestic balance sheet, you know, economists aren't, you know, have another month before they make an update to their numbers. So that can happen sometimes with the USDA. What's good, nice about the Ag Forum is it's one big report that's kind of forward looking that includes whatever they're thinking. Now, when it comes to acres, usually the Ag Forum's pretty good. I will say this though, this year, it's going to be difficult because the Ag Forum will have the guys doing the acres are economists. It's not based on a survey. And they'll look at trends and inputs and costs, and they'll come up with their big model, and you know, they'll drill it down state by county, you know, to where they think acres are going to be. I don't know if they'll publish all that data, but that's how they come to that final number. And in years past, they've been pretty good. Prices are so wild this year, and profitability and margins can really vary state to state and crop to crop. And also there's the whole input cost and availability, especially of fertilizer. And it's going to be tough. It'll be interesting to see what the USDA says in acres. Usually they're very good on predicting acreage. If there's going to be a miss or something going on in the country that doesn't map up in the offices of, you know, DC, you know, with the economists, this could be the year, you know, where it doesn't all match up. So it'll be interesting to see what they say. Lately, the thoughts have been more soybeans, less corn. You know, you look at soybean prices, you look at the demand, what happened in South America. It's not as intensive on the fertilizer side. It will be interesting to see, you know, what those are. I've, you know, people outside of Illinois and Iowa, which they do their rotation no matter what, for the most part. But you start getting away from that, like up north. I was talking to some farmers in the northern plains, and they're gonna, you know, they might not do as much corn or as much spring wheat. Might go into soybeans, right? You know, you talk to people down south, like in Texas and the Delta, and cotton looks very attractive. So there's all these things going on, you know, oats, specialty crops, just because of many different factors, but inputs are definitely part of it. So that's going to be interesting. What's going to be also interesting with the ag form, so on Thursday, they do the supply side, so we get to see acres and trendline yield. Friday, you get to see the demand side, and that's going to be very interesting because of what's happening in South America and where that demand goes. Also, what's going to be interesting is how they deal with biofuels and biodiesel. I mean, vegetable oil is very price inelastic, just like meal and soybeans overall. So it doesn't matter what, you know, we get a shortage and prices are high, you don't see demand come down that much in vegetable oil and in meal. So that's, I'll see how the WASDE does that. I mean, the USDA does that. So that's Thursday and Friday of next week. So most likely we'll have another podcast and some newsletters next week leading into that. And I'll try to do a review of it on Friday afternoon, you know, after the numbers are released. But most likely, we're probably not going to have a real in-depth outlook on it and our thoughts until we get into that weekend or that into that Monday after the ag forum, but something that we're all keep an eye on. So that is, you know, we're only 12 minutes into the podcast here, but that's really what I wanted to talk about today. I mean, I talked positions a little bit. I do like buying call spreads and selling put spreads for new crop and for old crop. My idea is we're going to be elevated for a while, and it'll be something on the spec side that you can be part of. And then if you're a hedger, it's something to sell into. I like the same thing for bean oil. I like the same thing for soybeans. We've been doing more business lately on the meal side for feed. It's the same story. It really is. It's a bullish environment out there. The bearish pitfalls would be, you know, something out of the blue where you just get more acres than you can possibly imagine, or one crop is the winner in the acreage war, which would send the others up. But let's say soybeans ends up being the winner in the acreage war, and it takes from, you know, wheat, spring wheat up north, and then corn throughout, you know, maybe the farther reaches of the western and eastern corn belt. Now you can have a situation where beans do kind of come back to earth, but it would send, it'd certainly send corn and probably wheat, you know, the next leg higher, you know, if we were sub 90 million bushels on corn or something like that. Just, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. It's just, you know, we can't get too far ahead of ourselves, you know, when we're bullish on these markets, because things can happen. We saw it happen with the trade war or the swine fever or with COVID. You know, it's just, you never know. So I'm just saying, probably, you know, biofuels and biodiesel. Actually, that is, we'll end on that. So biofuel, we are going to increase. I had a really good chart up here. I'll put you on pause for a second so I can find this. All right, here it is. The EIA provides a new forecast for renewable diesel and other biofuels. So on their website, they're basically starting to break down all the different by year production and consumption, you know, in the energy department. And what's very interesting is renewable biodiesel consumption is expected to average about 100,000 million barrels a day in 22, and then about 120,000 barrels a day in 23, which is pretty much where we thought it would be, and in production kind of going higher. What's interesting is biodiesel consumption was supposed to kind of go down as the renewables trended up, but that's not the case. They're actually forecasting biodiesel consumption to also go higher along with renewables. So that's even more bullish than I thought it would be. I thought renewable would be cannibalizing biodiesel, the more traditional, but it's not, or that's at least what the EIA is saying. So I found that very interesting, which is just, I think, even more bullish for vegetable oils, whether it be soybean oil, palm, or canola, and sunflower. So that's, if we have weather issues this summer, you know, the soybean and oil seed complex could get pretty volatile there. So that is it for the podcast this week. If anyone has any questions, want to go over positions or markets, please let me know. Otherwise, have a great week. We have the 3-day weekend here in the United States. We will be off on Monday and back on Tuesday. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.